with information on the latest developments in assistive technology, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Today we look at a technology which gives people living with disabilities equal access to city streets, buildings and facilities. Research predicts that the number of people in New South Wales and the ACT aged over 40 with impaired vision is set to rise to 100,000 by 2020. Other states will experience similar increases. The City of Sydney is preparing for this by road testing a new network of Braille street signs designed to make the streets easier and safer for people with vision impairments. They are also testing technology such as QR tags. For those who don't know, QR tags are little mosaic patches which link you via a smartphone to a website with extra information. To find out more about this initiative, Marnie Roper and I spoke with Laurie Johnson, project manager in the City Design Unit at the City of Sydney. We asked him to outline the city's vision for the signs and how this fits into the overall Livable Green Network program.
The Braille signs are part of an overall pedestrian wayfinding project that the city is currently developing, essentially to give people the information to know where they are and how to get to their desired destinations easily. And naturally, this is important for tourists and visitors to a city, but it's also relevant for locals to show that some destinations are closer than they might think. And take a pedestrian trip or to ride a bike might be the easier way to go. So one of the objectives of the wayfinding project is to make the system as inclusive as possible by providing directional and locational information in formats for people that are mobility impaired or are blind or have low vision. So the Braille plates are part of that overall system to give predictable and consistent wayfinding project information to people that are blind and have low vision.
The City of Sydney's had tactile street signs in place from the 1990s, which have worn out, I gather.
That's right.
You're trialling new materials as well as different signs?
Yes. Part of the wayfinding project is a high element of prototyping and user testing. So the initial tactile Braille signs that were rolled out back in 1994 were basically a rubber version, which had raised tactile lettering and Braille information. And over time, that's worn out and is pretty much not very usable for users. So the materials that we've been using or have been prototyping, basically a photopolymer membrane mounted on an aluminium backing plate. So it has the raised lettering and the Braille information in a new. So hopefully it's a bit more robust and more user-friendly. So part of the user testing is really to get that information on that materiality and how friendly it is for people to use.
And what will the sign contain? Just the street name, or have you got other landmark information or distances and so on?
The signs will essentially show the street name and then a property numbering index. So if you're, say, on George Street and behind you might be number 50 George Street, so it will give that number. And then either to the left or right of you, it will give down to the number of the property down to the next block. So it might have 50 to 100 George Street L. And that L will mean to your left of you, you'll be tracking down to 100 George Street. So kind of gives you both the locational and directional, depending on which way of the street that you might want to travel along. Most of the signs will have the street name, but at key landmarks, such as, say, Hyde Park or Queen Victoria Building, things that are well known, that information would be put on the plate.
Are there technology solutions to supplement that information on the signs?
Yes, the information that you might use for wayfinding is moving at a rapid knots, really, on the technology side of things, particularly the use of QR tags or using your phone to download information. So part of this project has been to really explore those options and to have the flexibility in the signage that we're developing to accommodate things that you might be able to download. So things like a QR tag, we're looking at the prototyping to accommodate QR tag patches. But for the research that we've been doing, technology does move along, so there will probably be a new system probably another 5 years' time. So we want to have that flexibility in there that whatever the technology is, that we can actually provide it. And I guess the beauty of having download web-based information like that, you can give a richer content of information to people, and the information can be very much tailor-made to what you want to know. So it could be from a tourist perspective, where you might want to do a heritage walk, or you might want to just get further accessible information on how to get around the city.
So how many streets does the council hope to label in this way? Is it just the CBD or other parts of the council area?
Yeah, for the tactile plates, we'll be looking to roll out in the CBD. So the signs will be located at the pedestrian crossing points adjacent to the audio tactile push button where you cross the road. So comprehensively in the CBD, but also in our main streets, which is in outside the CBD, such as Glebe Point Road, Crown Street, Darlinghurst Road, Redfern Street. Those main streets, which then usually interface then with public transport, like train stations and major bus links.
Now, you've had the testing underway, and presumably that is, from what I hear, that's finished. Are there any definitive results for the testing?
From the testing, it's we're running through all that the results of that at the moment, and a lot of that is, I suppose, what we're looking at now is finessing the font type, but also in terms of the plate construction. A lot of the feedback came back that the top edge of the plate, where essentially at right angles, was a little bit too sharp. So we've adjusted another prototype at the moment with more of a rounded corners to the actual plate, so it's a little bit more comfortable to actually use, whereas the one that we did trial in June was a little bit more sharper at the edge. So that feedback's really valuable,
right,
in just finessing the design.
And when do you expect the signs to be in place and ready for use?
We'll be doing another full trial rollout down at the northern part of the city towards the end of this year.
Right.
And then we'll be doing an ongoing program of rollout from 2014 onwards.
How are you going to let vision-impaired people know that the signs are there?
That will be on two fronts. It will be a communication strategy that will to allow people to know that the city has that system out in the streets. And I guess once you're there, the beauty of the tactile plates that it will be at predictable and consistent locations at the corner, crossing points at the city. So for people then to, if they know about the system, then when they're in the city centre, that they can get to a corner and then get some sort of locational information from these plates.
That was Laurie Johnson from the City of Sydney. To find out more about the recent testing of the various prototypes of tactile street signs, we spoke with Jennifer Moon, Community Education Coordinator for Guide Dogs New South Wales and ACT. Jennifer and her team worked with the city to recruit testers and coordinate the feedback. So recently you were part of a trial conducted by the City of Sydney to test various prototypes of tactile street signs. Can you tell us about your involvement?
Sure. So I don't know whether any listeners are already aware of some signies that did exist around Sydney, but this was installed in the 1990s, and it was made of rubber with some lettering and braille over it. And over the years, that rubber has perished, and really the signage isn't really that useful anymore. So what the City of Sydney then asked was to get a working party together, and that comprised of people from various vision impairment sectors, to come up with what would be the key elements of tactile braille signage. Then the committee put some issues together, but then we realised we need to do some on-site trial, put the signage out in the real-life situation and get people with vision impairment to come and test it and come and see which works, to then feed that back to council before they actually put the signage into existence, let's say.
So how did you get the people together to take part, and how many people were involved?
Well, it was actually through Vision Australia, Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT, Blind Citizens Australia. We really just put out an invitation saying if anybody would like to come down to Circular Quay where the prototype signage was going to be placed on a certain day, everybody was welcome, come on down, and that's what happened. We had a turnout of approximately about 20 people with varying degrees of vision impairment to come and test the signage.
I imagine you had a variety of ages. Were they mostly women or did you have men as well?
We did have certainly a combination. I guess the other thing to consider is when you have vision impairment itself varies greatly from person to person. So the signage was designed in a way that, one, it would be useful for people who are totally blind, hence the braille on the signage. But two, if some people did have some remaining vision, the actual tactile lettering of the street name was raised so they could run their finger across it. Plus then the colour combinations that were used, that from a distance could somebody perhaps pick up there is something on that pole, I need to go over and have a look to confirm where I am. And that's what we were able to achieve with the various 20 people. They came from various viewpoints and were able to give us some great feedback.
So all the signs are in Braille and alphabet lettering from the sound of what you're saying.
That's right. So it's that combination, because Braille really is for those with no useful vision, so then they can just read that Braille. But even then it was working out, well, should the Braille run from top to bottom on the sign, bottom to top, and even just the type of font that was used. Could people with vision perhaps run their finger around and work out exactly what that letter was? Because a T and an F can be very similar when someone's tracing their finger over it.
How many different prototypes of the signs did you have?
I think we had probably about six, and the main thing was to work out, as I said, the Braille. Did the Braille read correctly? I think a lot of people, particularly if you don't read Braille, it just looks like a series of dots. So you do need to have Braille readers test it to say exactly what it should be saying. And did the Braille actually feel good under their fingers? So that was one. The other one was then seeing the different sorts of colour combinations. We had a black background with white lettering. We had a silver background with black lettering. And we had, I think, another silver background with yellow lettering. And then we were trying to work out from people what visually was the best combination. Mm-hmm. And again, on a silver pole, that was a big determinant on what background was better, because you could imagine silver on silver, it got quite lost.
Yes.
Whereas the black background, it stood out from a further distance for people then to head towards it and then feel it.
So I understand if people have some sight, they can be aware that there are signs there. If you're totally blind or mostly blind, how do they know the signs are there?
And that is the big question, you know, signage, and that you often see examples of great Braille tactile signage, but nobody would be able to find it from where it was put in the environment. So that was another factor, where on the pole it would go. So usually what's going to happen in this project is that it will go onto poles with the audio tactile signal. So you know when you hear the beep, beep, beep?
Yes. So
therefore it's an audible clue for someone to head towards it, and then where that button is that you pressed across the road, it would be in a predictable position on that pole that then somebody could feel it, particularly if they had no vision at all, they could expect to find it at that location.
Was there a particular approach that met with general approval from the testers?
Yeah, so certainly just through observation of watching people move through it, as I said, there was different orientations of should you read the sign from top to bottom, should you read it from bottom to top. And it did seem to be that people reading it down, because I guess running their hand down the pole to read seemed to be more acceptable. The colour combination, it also seemed to be the darker background with the light lettering was a much better luminance contrast. And again, from the distance, they were seeing it on that silver pole at a better location than if it was the silver on silver. And there were a few other little things that certainly the T and the F, I think we were using the example Alfred Street, which is where we had the trial down at Circular Quay. And a few people found it difficult to determine an R or a T when it came to street. So there were things that we needed to work on the font. And again, you know, it's great that the research happened, because there's nothing worse than when people come up with a great idea, put it out there, and it hasn't been tested. And unfortunately, it's not that usable.
That was Jennifer Moon from Guide Dogs, New South Wales and ACT. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.